So if I just terminated somebody and I said, it's not working out, I'm letting you go, right? And then a potential employer calls and I tell the potential employer, well, I fired them for suspected theft, or I fired them for violating our sexual harassment policy, or, you know, whatever it is, then they're going to say, well, that is not what you told me. And my release only covers that which I could reasonably have known you were going to say about me. And since I didn't reasonably know that's what you were going to say about me, there is no release. There's nothing that gives you my consent for you to have said that. So I'm suing you. And you still have truth as your defense, but, you know, $150,000 in legal fees later, I'm sure you feel really good about that. So ultimately, I would just say, don't rely on it. And I think that's consistent with what Scott was saying earlier, is you just don't want to go there. It's not worth it. And I think it's really sad that that's the way it works. But if you have a really low threshold for being sued, I would say don't take the risk. Now, there are circumstances sometimes when an employer just does not feel right not revealing information. For example, if they've had an employee who embezzled from them and they get a call, I would just say that you want to make sure that you're wording whatever it is you say very carefully. I would even encourage that whatever you do say, you say it in writing, or that you write down what you say and you read it and you hang on to that piece of paper, so that if there becomes a dispute about what got said, because how you say it and what they remember you're saying may not be the same thing. So saying they were fired for theft is not the same thing as saying that we fired them because we had reason to suspect they may have engaged in theft. Right? So very different. I may be able to prove that I had reason to suspect that they had engaged in theft, but I may not be able to prove that they actually engaged in theft, because I didn't follow them to the store with that same $100 bill out of the petty cash drawer and see them buy the beer with it, right? So if they say they were spending it on envelopes at Office Depot that weekend out of the goodness of their heart, and then we're going to come back, but they got fired and accused of theft, how do I disprove that? You know, I can't. You know, if they say that the $50,000 piece of equipment under the blanket in the back of their pickup truck was going to their garage so they could tighten up the screws and bring back on Monday, how do I prove that's not true? You know, I've said they stole it. Well, I can't prove that, but I can prove that they had unauthorized possession of company property, because I didn't tell them it's okay to take that piece of equipment, put it under a blanket in the back of your truck, and take it home to fix the screws, right? So state what you can prove and nothing more than what you can prove. So if you do get sued, you know what you've said, you can prove what you said, and what you said, you can prove it's true. And that way, you're about as insulated as you can get if you decide to share any information at all, which I generally wouldn't unless your conscience is just going to eat at you. Okay, and not having a conscience, that's not a problem. Okay, let's talk about... a lot of times you'll see on an application affirmation where the employee says that everything that I've said in this application is true and correct. Okay, well, true and correct, to me, those are the same concepts, but I would add complete, true, correct, and complete, because there, according to Ogden Nash, there are sins of omission and sins of commission, for those who are poetry fans. And a sin of commission is to say, you know, I worked at Dell, and I never worked at Dell. That would be a sin of commission. I've actually stated something that is untrue. To say that I worked at Dell, and then I went to work for American Airlines, but I left out the fact that I was fired from three jobs in between and went to prison. That would be a sin of omission, right? But if you just ask me to, you know, to list, you know, relevant employment, well, that's all that's relevant, because I didn't work anywhere else long enough. The fact that I was fired, you didn't ask me where I got fired from. You didn't ask where I worked, where I didn't get any training because I was fired for theft or sexual harassment so fast that I didn't stay there. I mean, you asked me for relevant information. I gave you the relevant. I mean, you can't do that, right? So if you're going to ask for prior employment history, ask for a complete employment history, all jobs you've held since, whatever you want to do, since you know, you were an adult, since in the last 10 years, since you finished your any formal education, but, you know, every job. So, because it's usually the ones that they don't list that are going to be the most telling. It's not the ones they do list. So the bad eggs, you know, I mean, yes, the ones they do list are helpful in terms of finding who's the best candidate in terms of qualifications, but in finding your bad eggs that you probably don't want to hire, where there's something that you probably should know, it's what they don't say. So requiring that they state that everything that they provided to you is complete requires that you word your questions carefully so that you clearly are asking for that data. Why bother? What difference does it make? Well, what difference does it make is that if they later file a lawsuit against you, and in the course of conducting discovery, you find out that they lied on the application, there is a concept in the law called after acquired evidence doctrine, which means if after I fire you, I acquire evidence that would have resulted in your termination had I found out about it, had you still been employed and I found out about it, then your damages for lost wages, lost benefits, stops, right? So if 3 months or 6 months after I fire you and you say it was race-based, let's say you win that, but I can prove that 6 months later when I was conducting discovery, I found out that you did not have a degree. In fact, you'd never gone to college and you lied, and that would have gotten you fired, and I know the date that I found it out, then I can argue that would have resulted in a termination. So they're capped at that point on those wages.